Go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and read about a true praise and worship service. Amen. It gives me goosebumps thinking about the day we're all around the throne with all the saints of all the ages. Amen. Before the throne singing in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Man. But I will say this. The church is supposed to be a piece of that down here. Amen. And we can experience a little bit of that. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be back. Good to see everyone. I love coming here. Amen. And I just love coming back. And, man, just like I'm sure when I don't see y'all very much. You don't see us very much. But, man, these kiddos are growing up. My goodness. I can't believe it. And so everybody keeps asking me, well, how's it like having your daughter get married? I said, well, she better enjoy it because the other one's not getting married. Amen. And not happening. Not happening. She's staying home, taking care of mom and dad the rest of her life. And so, you know, she's got a pretty good with dad, don't you? So, you know, she does. So anyway, thank God there's two boys in between, amen, before the baby girl. So I pray the rapture's happening before that happens. I was actually praying the rapture's going to happen before 2 weeks ago Friday night. And every time I'd say that, I'd get these glares and dirty looks from two young people sitting in the church, or sitting there watching me say that. But anyway, amen. All right, let's get to preaching tonight. 1 John chapter 5. I was wrestling with a couple different messages, and I was praying that the Lord would give me clarification on which one to preach, and he certainly did give me clarification. So I know this is exactly where the Lord will have us be tonight. Now don't worry, I know it's the last night of revival, and I think maybe that's why preacher brought me in, because number one, he's scraping the bottom of the barrel, amen. Number two, I'm going to preach probably an hour message in about 25 minutes, because that's just what happens, amen. Man, it starts flowing and it starts coming out, and before long it's like an automatic machine gun, amen. And when I first started the White River, man, the people were just like, what are you saying? You're saying it so fast. Now if someone doesn't preach like that, they're like, why is he so slow, amen. And so I got them used to it, and so here we go tonight. I hope you're ready. 1 John chapter 5, when you find your place, stand with us please as we read the scripture. I'm going to read the first five verses to you. The Bible says this: whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you tonight, God. Our hearts are full already. Lord, how good it is to be around your people. Lord, singing your praises. And now as we turn our attention to your word, we pray you'd meet with us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service. We want you here. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint the words as they come from your precious holy word, God. And I pray you'd meet the needs of our lives tonight, God. We need you. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 4 is the text verse. And again, let me read it to you. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I'm going to take the title of the message directly from the verse tonight. Here's the title: for this is the victory, even our faith. For this is the victory, even. You say, preacher, victory? Don't you know what year it is? Don't you know what's going on in the world? I mean, come on, folks. It's all in our minds, right? I just filled my truck up coming up here. $125, and I didn't even quite fill it because the pump clicked off. You know, inflation? Sure. Hey, it's costing me more. I got Jeremiah to feed. Are you kidding me? I mean, good night. I mean, that's why my wife and I both own our own businesses, not to get ahead to feed our kids. Amen? I mean, inflation? We're feeling it, aren't we? Yes, sir. Russia? Ukraine? I mean, come on, folks. I mean, literally, they are talking about nuclear war. Okay? I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you reality, right? I mean, victory. Preacher, how can you talk about victory when we're experiencing what we're experiencing in our world? I know we sing the song, and I don't think the songwriter meant anything by it, but I'm not a big fan of the song Hold the Fort. Maybe you sang it last night. Amen. I don't know. But, you know, here's the thing. You know what, folks? As you kind of sing the song, it kind of gives you the idea that as Christians, we're supposed to be kind of hunkered down and you know, just at our wits' end as we're surrounded by the enemy waiting for Jesus to come and rescue us. But I'm sorry, folks, that's not what I read in the Bible, amen? Hey, listen, folks, one of these days when the trumpet sounds and we see our Savior for the first time, I don't want to be hunkering down in the fort. I want to be out storming the gates of hell, amen? So, yes, I believe that as Christians, we ought to have victory. What is it we ought to be doing? We ought to be going forward. We ought to be taking ground. We ought to be making progress. Praise the Lord. Right now, as I'm preaching, gathered at the church right now is about 50 people from our local Narcotics Anonymous group. And back in October, we started letting that group use our building to host some of their meetings. And I told the director, I said, two conditions. Number one, every third Wednesday night of the month, we get a provided meal for you. And I said, then at the end of the meal, you let me preach to everybody. And they said, absolutely, we'd love to do that. And I'll be honest with you, preacher, when you asked me to be here tonight, I knew God wanted me to be here. But you know, that right now is when I'd be preaching to those precious folks. And a part of me's there. And it's not because of me. I'm not saying it's me by any means. But when they found out I wasn't going to be there tonight, they were a little disappointed. And you know what, folks, listen to me. Those are the types of things that as Christians, as God gives us opportunities, listen, we shouldn't be hunkering down. We ought to be looking for opportunities of victory. Amen. I wish I could give you the testimony of all those precious folks. I was just one of the men. His name is Rod. Rod's been attending the church now for about a month, and he came to me a week ago Sunday and told me about some things going on in his life. And he was very discouraged and former alcoholic, basically living in a shelter. It's a house that's helping people recover, and basically was just kind of at his wit's end. Thought he was going to be back on the street, and so I said, "Well, Rod, let's pray, man. Let's." I gave him a little bit of advice. We had prayer, and I got a call from him yesterday, and the things we prayed about, God answered. And he told me, he says, "Preacher, you're right. When I start taking steps toward God, God starts working in my life." Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Another guy comes on Sunday evening. His name's Jeff. And a year and a half ago, Jeff overdosed on heroin and meth together. He was trying to kill himself. He overdosed, went to his garage, put a rope around his neck, and jumped. Thank goodness the rope broke. The police came, and he said he wanted to live, and they got him some help, took him down to a place in Evansville where he could get some help, and lo and behold, when he started sobering up, and it wasn't me and it wasn't any preacher I knew, but some preacher came down there and started ministering to Jeff and led him to Christ, amen? And now every time you see Jeff, all he wants to talk about is the transformation God's made in his life. All he wants to talk about is the Bible and ask Bible questions, and he carries around a notebook, and in that notebook written on paper, triple space, because he writes big, and even said, he says, I've messed myself up and I can't write very good, but he carries around a notebook with his testimony in it. And anytime he gets an opportunity, he'll take that notebook and he'll give his testimony and talk to people about the Lord. And listen, folks, victory, amen? Victory. Now listen, as Christians, God has for us what we see in this passage, a formula for that victory. And that's what I want to give you tonight, just a simple formula for victory. For this is the victory, even our faith. I want you to notice the first thing is this. The first part of the formula is realizing our ability to overcome. Now I love these words in this verse, verse 4. You find the word overcometh. In fact, I'm preaching on those words, and I've chased that phrase through the scripture, and I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, and when I'm preaching to the NA folks on Wednesday night, we're preaching about overcoming. And I love that word overcome. It means to subdue, conquer. It means to prevail, get the victory. And then, of course, we see the word victory. The word victory, of course, means to conquest. It's a means to success. And folks, let me just say this. God wants for us to win. Amen? Now listen, this isn't some best life now, you know, big pearly whites and all that kind of stuff, you know, telling everybody how good they are, and you know, if you, you know, give a dollar, God will give you two, all right? That's not what this is. But I will say this, folks, God wants us as Christians to be winning way more than we're losing, amen? He wants us to be winning. In fact, just by being on his side, guess what that means? Eventually, we're going to come out on top. But listen, I don't want to just win by getting to heaven. I want to win and experience victory all along the path of the Christian life. Amen. I want to experience those victories. I want to experience and help people experience victories like Jeff and Rod and all those other folks God's given us the opportunity to help and minister to. But here's the thing, as a Christian, if you want victory, you got to follow the formula. Amen. You got to follow the formula. Just because you want something don't mean you get it. You got to do what the Bible says to get it. So that's what I want to give you tonight, a simple formula for victory. For this is the victory, even our faith. Number one, we said this, realize our ability to overcome. Now let me say this, folks. Man, this is a good way to put this. Overcoming is part of our reborn nature. Let me say that again. Overcoming is part of our reborn nature. You see, when we get saved, some amazing things happen. Amen. Of course, we as Christians and are a triune being, body, soul, spirit. Of course, before we get saved, the spirit's dead. But once we get saved, once we get born again, praise the Lord, the first thing that happens, our spirit's made alive. Amen. Our spirit's made alive. For 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I love Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he what? Quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That word quicken, it means to make alive. It means to be vitalized. Amen. And let me tell you something. When we get saved, that spirit now is made alive. Praise God for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And before a person gets saved, they don't understand the things of God. They don't understand the things of the Word of God because their spirit's dead. But praise God, once we get saved, that spirit's made alive. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It's part of our reborn nature. Not only that, how about this? We receive a new nature. We receive a new nature. A very famous passage of Scripture. I know you've heard it before. You probably hear it often. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Amen? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And by the way, I like the fact that God calls us what we are, creatures. Amen? We're creatures. And once we get saved, praise the Lord, we receive that new nature. Then how about this? Not only that, not only is our spirit made alive, not only do we receive a new nature, how about this? We receive power. We receive power. Man, I love that word power as you begin to chase it through the Scripture. And God literally gives us supernatural power to do supernatural things. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again, but ye shall receive power. By the way, you look up that word power, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. Amen? And God literally says that I'm going to give you dynamite power to do a spiritual work for me. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And let me tell you why we can win. Let me tell you why we can have the victory. Because overcoming, getting the victory, is part of our reborn nature. Amen? How about this? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that worketh in us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the word power again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That word power is a different word than the word dunamis. The word power here, it means great dominion. It means mighty power. It means strength. Now, let me read a passage of Scripture to you. And based upon that idea of power that God gives us, which is part of our reborn nature, think about these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, come on now, that was us, amen, hath quickened us together, or made us alive together. Now listen to this. With Christ, by grace are you saved. Man, and when I started thinking about this verse and understanding the meaning behind this verse, man, I'm going to tell you, this is good stuff here, amen, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about what that means. Literally, when you get saved, folks, and you begin to walk in the Christian walk, God here makes us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Now, physically, that's not talking about physically, amen? We're not seated with Christ physically in heaven yet. One of these days we will be, but not right now. So that means this, spiritually, I can be seated with Christ in heavenly places through him. Amen. Now think about that. Do you think Jesus Christ right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, has power? You think he has power? Sure, he's got power. And by the way, that power that he has through him, we can have access to. Amen? And so I want you to understand this. If you're going to have victory, you must realize you have the ability to overcome. By the way, Satan doesn't want you to realize that, by the way. He wants you to think that when you get saved, that he's got the greater dominion, he's got the greater power, and you can never win anything because of who he is and all that he has. And listen, I'm not saying we ought to underestimate who he is. I understand that. I'm not saying we should play around with the devil or the things of the devil. Let me just say this. According to the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God, according to what we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we've been raised up together with Christ Jesus and have power that's part of our newborn nature that will allow us to overcome. Amen? No wonder we can have victory. So number one, realize our ability to overcome. How about this? Number two, access the power to overcome. Because here's the thing, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you will. Right? Unless you access the power. For example, right now on these outer walls, if you look, you will see these little square boxes in the wall. Amen? They are called power outlets. And flowing through those outlets is electricity, is power. But you know what? It doesn't do any good to have that power flowing through there unless what? You plug something into it. Amen? And let me just say this, as a Christian, if we want to get the victory, if we want to overcome, we must access the power to overcome. Spiritual power to subdue, conquer, prevail, get the victory is available if we choose to access it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, again, a very famous passage of Scripture. Let me read them to you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, listen to this, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now listen, I like my weapons, all right? I think y'all like your weapons, okay? That's a good thing. But guess what? Listen to me, folks. When it comes to this spiritual battle we're facing, when it comes to what God's called for us to do as Christians, listen to you. My AR-15, my SIG P365, my Glock 19 is not going to do any good against the enemies I'm facing. You know why? Because we're not facing what the Bible says here, carnal enemies. That's not what it is we're facing. But God does give us what it says here, mighty weapons. Notice this, mighty through God. That word mighty, man, that's an interesting word. It's called dunados. It's closely related to the word dunamis. It means powerful, capable, listen to this, possible. So here's the thing. It's possible to overcome if we access the power that is given. Let me say that again. It's possible to overcome if we access the power that is given. And herein lies the problems that we face as Christians, why we aren't overcoming. You know why? Because we're accessing the wrong power. That's why. We're accessing the wrong power. Again, what we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then we see again in other places phrases like this, and in the power of his might, through the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit of God, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. We have the power if we're willing to access it. Amen? And here's the problem, all right? Because we all have the same thing we got to deal with. It's called the flesh, amen? And you know what? We think we can do things on our own apart from God, or maybe not as much dependent upon God as we ought to be, amen? And let me just say this. Let me remind us of all what Jesus said. Without me, ye can do most things. Is that what he said? No. Without me, you can do some things. Is that what he said? No. Without me, you can do nothing, amen? We must access the power that he gives us. Realize the ability to overcome. Access the power to overcome. And then this goes back to our text. Let's go back there in 1 John chapter 5. And notice what it says again in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the reborn nature. Amen. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Notice the last three words of verse 4. Even our faith. Even our faith. The word overcometh there is the verb. It's what we can do if we will access it through faith. Listen to me, folks. Faith is the victory that allows us to overcome. How do we access that power that's given to overcome? Through faith. How do we access the ability of our spiritual powers? Through faith. How do we experience the power of the new birth and become a child of God? Through faith. Listen to me. Faith is the key to winning in the Christian life. Now, what is faith? Okay, and I know there's a bunch of, I'm sure, great definitions of faith. But when I go to Hebrews chapter 11 and the great faith chapter, in fact, let's just turn there real quick. And I just want to give you what I believe is a good Bible definition of faith. We see this in verse 1 and 2. Now faith is, okay, so the Bible's going to explain some things to us here, amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then we go into what's known as the hall of faith. But according to the verse here, faith is substance and faith is evidence. Amen? So here's what I believe faith is based upon the Word of God. Faith is our belief and confidence in God and His Word that spurs us to action. That's faith. How do we know that's true? Because read Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what it says, and we won't read through it all, but look at verse 4. By faith, Abel, if you're there, say it with me. You ready? Offered. Amen? Notice we see verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark. And as you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you know what you see? Action verb after action verb after action verb. They believed God, and it spurred them to action. Amen? Right. So back to what we're talking about, as far as the victory, the faith to overcome, is this. Now listen, folks, there's going to be some things God will command for us to do. There's things that God asks for us to do that, you know what, humanly just doesn't make sense. Okay, for example, all right, we just had, it's amazing how we kind of coincide how we do things, amen? You almost thought I learned this from somewhere, I don't know, but February, Missions Emphasis Month, and we just had in four, and then we actually had a missionary come in this last Sunday night, so that made five different missionaries throughout the last 5 to 6 weeks. And you know, once again, I challenged our people, yes, in the midst of inflation, yes, in the midst of skyrocketing everything. Yes, in the midst of trying to raise money for a building one of these days we're going to put up. I challenged our people to let's increase in our missions giving. Amen? Let's increase. God's allowed us in the last 5.5 years to support right now 22 missionaries at $100 a month. And we set a goal to pick up, it was going to be three, but then the guy that came through Sunday night, we enjoyed our fellowship with him. It happened to be in the tail end of when we gave in our faith mission commitments. And I just told our folks, listen, whatever God, you feel like God wants you to do. I preached on the month of February. I said, you do what you feel like God wants you to do. And when we totaled those things up, God's brought enough money in for us to pick up four new missionaries. Amen. Listen, I challenged our folks in that area. That was faith. That was saying that, you know what, they didn't necessarily see the outcome. It didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, come on, folks, when things are going up, you know, you would think that you need to keep more for yourself, right? That would just make human sense. But here's the thing, obedience and faith doesn't always make sense to the human mind, but it pleases God. And let me say this, folks, faith is the key to overcoming, amen? Exercising the faith to overcome. It's kind of like if you have a gun safe at home or someplace secure where you lock up valuables, all right? Particularly, you know how I am. When I talk of valuables, I'm talking about guns, ammunition, you know. Those are the valuable things, amen? That's going to be the currency one of these days, all right? But no, listen, you got a safe filled with all that stuff, filled with your guns, filled with your ammo. But guess what? It doesn't do any good as long as it's in the safe. By the way, it doesn't do any good if you don't know the combination to get into to get to them, right? If you lose the key, if you forget the combination, all right, what good is all that power in there if it's not accessible? And let me tell you what faith is in the Christian life. Faith is the key that unlocks the power we need for victory. Amen? Faith is the key. And by the way, let me tell you how God does this thing, all right? And I can tell you this because I've experienced this personally in my life. Okay? And y'all know this too. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Okay? God does not detail the whole plan before he asks you to do something. Now, you know what God says? Obey. Okay? Take this step. Once you take this step in my time, I'll show you the next step. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, we want God to do it just like this, just like this. Sometimes he has you take a step and wait for a little bit. You know why? Because he knows what's going on, and he wants for us to know that he knows what's going on and to trust him by faith. Amen? Just in the New Testament alone, the word faith, well, think about this, is used 245 times. Here's what I say. If God says something once, it's important, amen, because it's in the eternal word of God. But if God emphasizes something, repeats something over and over and over, hey, you know what he's saying? Hey, Christian, get it. Right. Amen, get it. 245 times, just in the New Testament, the word faith is used, amen? And again, what is faith referring to? It's referring to our belief and confidence in God and his word that spurs us to action. Here's what the Bible has to say quickly. Let me give you a few things about this. First of all, we see this. We're to stand by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Listen, if you're going to be long-term in this thing called the Christian life, you know what it's got to be by? It's got to be by faith. Amen? You better be anchored to something. You better be anchored to something. And the problem is, again, we as human beings are good at not doing the things the way God would have for us to do it, and thus the problems come in. We want to anchor ourselves to things, by the way, that are sinking sand. Amen? Right. Kind of like that wise man, the foolish man, and the house on the sand went what, kids? Splat. You know why? It wasn't anchored to the right thing. That's why. Amen? I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be long-term in this thing called the Christian life, you better know what it is to stand by faith. Belief and confidence in God and his word that spurs us to action. Amen? How about this? Walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Anybody can testify tonight that you've seen God with your eyes? Physically, you've seen him physically with your eyes? I haven't. You know what? I've never heard God audibly through an audible voice, speak to my ears, these ears, the physical ears. I physically have never, you know, I've never been in my prayer closet and I heard a voice come down through the ceiling and an audible voice I could hear. You know what? I've never experienced God with my physical senses, but that doesn't mean I don't know he's not real. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't need to see God to know he's real, because I see God moving and working and changing and accomplishing things that no other explanation could be for. Amen. Listen, you got to walk by faith. That's what this Christian life is about, walking by faith, amen? Taking the next step, even though you may not know the outcome. How about this? Living by faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, famous passage of Scripture. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, folks, come on. We're living by something, all right? Why don't we, as Christians, exercise the faith and decide to live by faith? By the way, it's easy to say when the cupboards are full. It's easy to say when there's money in the bank account. It's easy to say when everything's going good and health's good. But you know what? That's not the way life always works, is it? Okay? Things aren't always going to be good. Things aren't always going to be what we think they ought to be. And by the way, that's when the rubber hits the road. I think of some of our missionaries tonight, and because of being on the internet live stream, I can't even say their name. But they were the first missionaries we took on when we started supporting missionaries in March of 2017. And they are in Ukraine, and they are in the city of Kharkiv. We're in the city of Kharkiv. And they fled. And you know what? I don't down whatever decision missionaries have made to go other places or do whatever. That is between them and God, and I respect that decision. But our missionary went to Western Ukraine, okay, away from some of the fighting. And you know what? He's updating and said that God wants him to stay there. And him and his family, his wife and precious three kids, and her parents were missionaries there. So his in-laws, they are in Western Ukraine. The city that their church was in, Kharkiv, is one of the major cities that's taken all the hits and the bombings and everything like that. They're there reaching the soldiers, having church in hotel lobbies, trying to have churches from the states best they can send stuff over so they can try to help the people. Some of their men of their very own church have sent their wives so that they can go and fight in the war. They're there. You don't tell me that that's not living by faith. I mean, I don't know if I can make that decision. My wife and children in a place like that. But you know what? That's what he feels like God wants him to do. And by the way, God used him to accomplish some things. That's called living by faith. Amen? And you know what, folks? Again, it's easy to talk about it, but what happens when it comes down when the rubber meets the road? How about this? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Resist the devil by faith. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, that paints a pretty accurate picture of who the devil is, by the way. Amen? Right? And by the way, you know, if you read the context of that, you know who that those verses are referring to? It's referring to pastors, men of God. And I'm not saying the devil's not, as a lion, seeking other Christians. I'm sure he is. If you're out there trying to do damage to his kingdom, devil ain't going to mess with you if you're not doing much against him. I'm just telling you that. Okay? Sometimes you hear people, oh, the devil's after me. Really? You don't even come to church faithful. I hate to tell you, the devil's not after you. Okay? You can't even get past your own flesh, let alone the devil wasting his time coming after someone who can't even obey the basics of the scripture. But I'll just say this, that's a pretty bleak picture of who the devil is, amen? As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and he's a pretty formidable foe, but look at verse 9. Whom resist, notice this, steadfast in the faith, amen? In the faith. Now listen, folks, we're no match for the devil, but our God sure is, amen? Remember that verse I read in Ephesians about us being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus? Why do you think we're seated there? So that through him and his power and his might, he will give us the help and the strength and the faith we need to resist the devil. Amen? Resist, steadfast in the faith. How about this? We see this, the fact that as Christians, faith in the Christian life is something that we must every day seek to increase. Wouldn't it be nice if faith was kind of like a one-time shopping trip? Once you had it, you know, for as long as you needed it. But here's what I found out in my life, preacher. I'm a leaky vessel. I'm a leaky vessel. You know, there's a reason that every day as Christians, we need to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not saying we lose the Spirit. We don't lose them. Amen. But because of living in the flesh and dealing with the things of the flesh, you know, sometimes we can grieve him. Sometimes we can quench him. Sometimes we're not filled with him as much as we need to be. Amen. And you know what? As Christians, we need to have our faith increased day by day. The disciples, several times in the Gospels, asked Jesus to increase their faith. And I think it's interesting, as you travel through the Gospels, you find different levels of faith. You find some that have no faith. You find some that had little faith. You know what's interesting? The one that said had great faith wasn't even a disciple. Wasn't even a disciple. And the disciples were the one that had no faith or little faith, at least at that time. But praise God, God didn't stop working on them, and they eventually got it, and God eventually used them to turn the world upside down. Amen? So church, listen to me. 2022, here we are. I mean, whoever thought we'd see this year? I mean, 2022? I mean, I remember as a kid, or as a teenager, you know, having someone I heard preach, and, you know, I think back then it was the year 2008, okay? I mean, you know, if we saw 2008, we're really extending this thing, right? And then after that, it was 2012, Mayan calendar, 2012, December 21st, 2012, right? We'll never see past that, right? And here we are, 2022, amen? What are we doing as Christians, right? Are we winning? And I understand, folks, you're not always going to win, but we ought to be winning more than we're losing. Amen? We ought to be winning more than we're losing. And you know what? Through what God gives us here, through the formula that we see in 1 John chapter 5, we can win. There's the victory to overcome even our faith. We just must realize our ability to overcome, access to power to overcome, exercise the faith to overcome. Amen? Now listen to me. Who knows how far this thing is going to go before that trumpet sounds? Who knows? I pray it's this year. I really do. Jesus said every day to pray for his kingdom to come. I prayed for that today. God, let today be the day, Lord. Well, you told for us to pray to your... I would love for today to be the day, but maybe it could still be. But so far up to this point, it hasn't. Right? Who knows how far this thing will go? Where are we going to be as Christians? Amen? I mean, come on. What do you want to be doing the first time you see your Savior? Amen? I mean, come on. You want to really be hunkering down someplace afraid and not doing much, not accomplishing much? Or do you want to be winning some victories, amen? You want to be in the battle, accomplishing some things. But remember, if we're going to, we got to follow the Word of God and the formula in the Word of God. And again, let me just give it to you one more time. Realize our ability to overcome, access the power to overcome, exercise the faith to overcome. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the scripture. Lord, not to some deep truth by any means, but just a simple truth that I pray that you would help us as Christians to apply. Lord, thank you for the ability you give us within our reborn nature, God, to win, to have victory. And Lord, again, we understand that's only through you. And God, I pray that we would take these things, apply these things. God, may this be the best year we've ever had as a Christian. God, may we see more people saved. May we see more lives change, God. May we have a passion, Lord, for you like we've never had before, God, in these days that we're living in. Help us, we pray. Bless our invitation time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.